La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, 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 font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-dong. Mais boum.
Hey, bonjour rugby friends and welcome to the new episode of French Rugby Connection podcast with moi, Véronique Lindieu, and
moi, Mike Pierce. Bonne année, everybody, and welcome to the podcast.
French Rugby Connection podcast is the rugby podcast with a Gaelic twist and a bit of Welsh. So how are you, Mike?
Well, just about recovering now after another depressing defeat for Wales on Friday. But looking forward to another weekend of rugby.
Yeah, what's going on with Wales?
Yeah, it's difficult times, isn't it? Particularly after all the success Wales have had. It's difficult to put your finger on it, isn't it? But it's very, very depressing to watch. But we'll go into that a bit later. How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was very, very good. Another busy weekend watching and listening to Top 14 and watching some Autumn International. And today I have to say I was very, very fortunate. I was able to speak with one of the best flanker in the world in the post-professional era. So let me give you a few clues. He played for Biarritz.
Okay.
Les Bleus.
Okay.
And he finished his career at the Wasp.
That can only be the one and only Serge Bettsen.
Exactly. He was very, very charming and very humble. And he made time for me, especially as he's going to be the pundit for Prime Video this weekend, live from Murrayfield.
So okay.
Yes, I was very, very pleased, you know, for him to chase me regarding having a chat with me on our podcast.
Did he manage to get a word in at all?
Of course, you know. I'm sure you will enjoy his interview anyway.
Great. I look forward to that.
Yes, and he will be featuring in your book.
Absolutely, in the Hard Men French 15, certainly. Another guy had 200 stitches throughout his career, just in his face and neck. So, really hard man indeed. Okay, some top 14 news at the weekend. Toulon beat Agen 38-9. 5 tries for Toulon. Marnonu back for Toulon. 13 points from the blue of Baptiste Serran. But for Agen, the 9th defeat in a row.
Wow. But having said that, you know, I'm hoping that the wheel will be turning for Agen because new staff have been appointed. So now we have Régis Saun, who is the new manager. The forward coach will be Jalil Narissi and Sylvia Marond, the back coaches. So I hope, you know, it would help Agen to ramp up their position. So a game that I listened to was Castres versus Bordeaux. So Castres, I felt very, very sorry for them because they really should have won that game. But they lost in the dying second of the match as Afa Amosa, a Bordeaux player, scored a very, very late try. So the overall score was 29-30. And it's a shame, but, you know, c'est le rugby. So which other match will you go through?
Bayonne, they had a good win at home against Montpellier, 29-20. Tries for Ravuvu and Luke for Bayonne and Udarago and a penalty try for Montpellier. But Montpellier, again, another defeat, having a tough season, really. And talk of coach Xavier Gabajosa's job under threat. So difficult times for Montpellier, but Bayonne are getting some good wins.
Yes, they are going up, actually. I think they are middle of the top 14 right now. Oh, and latest news from Midi Olympique. Unfortunately, the match between Montpellier and Castres is going to be postponed again, because some players have been tested COVID-19 positive.
Okay.
So that's the second time you'll have to be postponed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another match that I listened to was the Pau versus Toulouse. The final score was 22-16. So very, very close. Pau dominated throughout the game, and there was some excellent work from Hastoy, as usual, and from the team. During halftime, it was 13-6, you know, so Pau was definitely leading. But they lost towards the end, unfortunately. That's the fourth loss for Pau. And it's the first win for Toulouse after two losses and one draw. So next week, Pau will have a rest. And on the 28th of November, they will meet Toulon at Stade Mayol.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting game at Brive. Brive were facing Racing. Brive were leading 16-3 at halftime. They ended up losing to an 80th minute try by Sanconi, converted by Tran Duc. But Brive will be kicking themselves, really. All 19 points from the boots of Larangiera. And, you know, the game was there for them to win, just that couldn't hold out for that last minute for a famous victory.
It was very, very cruel, very disappointing. I listened to the post-match reaction from Saïd Aresh at the end of the game. And yes, he was a bit downhearted, you know. Yeah. But on the positive side, you know, they have improved a lot.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah.
So there's always some positive in the negative. Mm. So finger crossed for next time. So a game I really enjoyed watching was the Stade Français versus La Rochelle, which was very much the pinnacle of top 14 on Sunday evening. And what a game. If there's a player that really struck out was Sekou Makalou. It was very much the man of the match, and this weekend as well, it was voted as the man of the weekend of the top 14. And he scored two tries. Altogether, you know, the team, the Stade Français, you know, scored four tries, so they get the bonus point this week. They had a drop goal as well. However, discipline, they suffered a yellow card. And La Rochelle scored one try. They got one yellow card as well for dealing leads. The Maritime didn't show up. And this is the first time in their last five games that they have suffered a defeat. However, they're still ranked number one because they still have 26 points on the scoreboard.
Okay.
So all positive. So next week, they will play against Racing Metro to catch up on one of the games that had been cancelled because of COVID.
Yeah, the other games, it was supposed to be a rest weekend this weekend in the top 14. But Friday night, as you say, catch-up games from matches that have been cancelled due to COVID. On Friday night, Montpellier faced Castres. On Saturday, Stade Français faced Bordeaux. Bayonne played Toulon, and as you mentioned on Sunday, La Rochelle at home to Racing.
Well, Autumn International.
Yeah, absolutely. The Autumn Nations Cup. And not sure quite what to make of it. It hasn't really sort of taken off, has it? I know with Fiji suffering with COVID, it's made it very disjointed. But this Sunday, of course, France will be facing Scotland at Murrayfield. And memories of a defeat back in March 2017, which ultimately cost France a grand slam. So I think they'll be going up fully loaded for that game. And I think it's definitely the game of the weekend. Anthony Bouthier, the fullback, is out for 6 weeks. Romain Ntamack is out injured. So Louis Carbonell comes in. So we'll have a new fly half, either Carbonell or Jalibert. So that'll be a fascinating thing to watch. Scotland are on the crest of a wave. They really seem to be hitting some form. So that's going to be a fascinating encounter, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. And as you know, because Fiji, you know, couldn't play in Van, which is really a shame. Yeah, it would have been great for Brittany to host.
Absolutely,
that game.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it's a nation that's a department which is really growing in its rugby base. France got awarded a bonus point over I think it was 28-0
they make the score as. Unfortunately, Fiji had 29 players test positive for COVID this week, so their match against Italy has been cancelled. So the only games on are, in fact, on Saturday, England face Ireland at 3 o'clock. That's live on Channel 4. Ireland have got some injuries. Sexton and Henshaw both out, so they'll be big losses. And then at 5:15, Wales face Georgia. So a sort of must-win game for Wales. So it's going to be a fascinating weekend, I think.
Definitely, definitely. So in terms of the players who play for France in Murrayfield, there have been some discussion because obviously, you know, the French players can only play three games at the time because of the issues they had with the Elena. So the question is, you know, it would probably be, obviously, you know, Dupont will be playing.
Yeah.
For the last time for Les Bleus. Tamac's been injured, like you said, you know, so he's going to be replaced by Carbonell. But it's going to be very interesting who is going to play for next week. I gathered because Scotland is it's going to be payback time for the French, so they will want to have a strong team.
Yeah.
But even, you know, from their defeat, you know, they learned a lot from that. And since that time, you know, the French team has matured a lot. So
yeah, I think it'll be an interesting game. I think it will be interesting to see how France have learned their lessons, because Murrayfield is a tough place to go. I remember even the great French teams of the 80s. And 19s often used to struggle at Murrayfield. So, I can't wait to watch that game.
And you know what? This is a very good introduction to the interview that I had with Serge Betson, because he did mention exactly that France always had a little bit of difficulty playing at Murrayfield. Yeah. So I hope Mike and all our listeners will really enjoy it. My chat with Serge Betson. And don't forget, it's going to be on Prime Video on Saturday, being the pundit amongst other journalists. Hey, so last week I had Philippe Sella, who had a chat with me. And this week, you know, I think Christmas has happened early for me. This week I have another rugby legend. It's Mr. Serge Betson. Bonsoir, Serge. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you to have me in your podcast, Véronique.
You are very, very welcome, you know, and thank you very much for accepting, you know, to feature on my podcast as well. So, Serge, back to memory lane. And I would be very, very surprised, but for some of our listeners who are not aware of who you are, let me refresh their memory. So you were born in February 1974 in Cameroon at the
March 25th.
I beg your pardon, sorry. It was Philippe Sella who was born on Valentine's Day. You were born a month later. Well, a bit 14 years later. So at the age of 11 years, you started playing for Club Sportif de Clichy. And you played there until the age of 17. And at the age of 17, you did your sports and studies in Biarritz, when you played for the academy, and you stayed there for how many years? Was it 12 years?
17. Yes, 17.
I do apologize for that. And then you moved to England. And obviously, around that time, you know, you were part of Les Bleus, and you were very much instrumental in their success.
Yeah, I played for the French team for 10 years from the 1997 to 2008.
Brilliant. And you were capped 63 times and you scored 45 points, according to my research.
Yes, not much, but yes.
So after you finished playing for Biarritz, you moved to England and you played for London Wasp, Laurence Dallaglio's club, for about 2 years.
3 years, exactly, from 2008 to 2011.
All right.
The fact is, I replaced Laurence when he left, he retired that year, and I was his replacement.
Wow, excellent. Are you still in touch with Laurence Dallaglio sometimes?
Yes, definitely. We meet sometimes in London around. Recently, we met around Wasp Legends through WhatsApp group. And we bump to each other sometimes.
Talking about WhatsApp group, Philippe Sella was telling me still has WhatsApp group with his former Saracens players as well from the 90s. Do you have a WhatsApp group as well with Les Bleus from your era?
I have a WhatsApp group from ex French player from the charity I created in 2011, the French Legends charity, which it's a good way to keep connected and stay in contact. Yeah,
I see. That's a great way not to lose to keep in touch. So let's go back to your childhood, Serge. So why did you decide to play rugby and not football when you were living in Clichy?
Listen, as you said, I was born in Cameroon and left when I was 9 to join my mom who were in Paris. And when I arrived in the Paris region, it took me a while to adapt myself. And the best way to do that is to connect with people. And I was lucky then one day in the stadium, Clichy, a guy come to me and asked me if I like to play rugby. I say, yes, why not? He say, Serge, I see you on Wednesday. In France, the Wednesday, it's evening where we don't go to school. And he told me to be there at 3:00. And for the first time, I always say that story because I wasn't late and I was on time. And since that day, rugby, it's more than part of my life. It's my passion. It's my way of thinking. It's why I feel like I completed a lot of things. That was the short story, but so important throughout my life.
Yes. So you were saying rugby brought you a sense of belonging, discipline.
Yeah, we there is so many things rugby teach me, and I always say that I was lucky to meet this sport. I'm really grateful for what rugby teach me. More than discipline, it teach me to believe in myself. It teach me to have that sense of respect, and I always say that rugby make me discover who I am and who I want to be, and that is very, very, very important. And like I said, I always feel like for me, rugby is one of the best sports ever.
Yes, I concur. So you played for Clichy, and then you were called to play for Biarritz while studying for your baccalaureate. Just for our English listeners, a baccalaureate is the equivalent of A-level. So you were studying and you were playing rugby in Biarritz, which was it in a Pro D2 club at that stage?
No, at that time, I think Biarritz was in the first division. They was playing the first division, I was doing sport études, which is 2D and rugby. I was really I was lucky to be part of this generation of player, which is kind of a lot of 2D and sport at the same time is kind of elite pathway. And I was lucky to join Biarritz in 1991, summer 1991. And to join this club from Paris, I have to tell you, it was amazing to leave Paris and to be in Biarritz, the sun, the beach, all the great atmosphere around Bayern festivals. And I was amazed by that area. And I just was pinching myself saying, oh, I'm going to be doing my dream sports in this area. I was so, so lucky. And I realized that. And I think from that day, I say to myself, you cannot waste your time. You have to be the best at your best to fulfill your dream. And I have to say that year when I joined the club, they managed to be in the final of the French Championships. It was one of the, today it was the last game of Serge Blanco and the other international like Pascal Ondars, David Arrieta, Pierre Ontas, those players who play, some of them played the first World Cup with the French team, and lucky to be part of this club. And for the first time, I took my mum with me in the Stade de Parc des Princes, where Biarritz was playing against Toulon. Unfortunately, Biarritz lost the final. And I have to say, I realized that day that this is what I want to achieve. I want to win this trophy one day. I cried that day and I said to myself, I will win this trophy one day. And that's for me when the dream started. And I have to say, I was fortunate to be part of this club at that age. And step by step, I work hard and I managed to be part of the first team and start to dream to dream big and be who I am today.
Sounds great. What a great story. And who was your role model? Who was the player that you admired the most in your 20s?
It's funny because I wasn't, my background, like we started, I wasn't aware of what rugby was. But step by step, I started watching games, etc. But to be fair, I don't want to disrespect anybody, but my role model was my mom. I was fortunate to be raised by her, by herself. And I always found inspiring to try to match what she did for her family, for her kids. And I have to say, rugby gave me that sense of proud and sense of working hard, and I have to say, rugby gave me the world of what my mom was doing for her family, the sense of support, working hard, and trying to do things for others, and I think that contact with rugby gave me the sense of understanding more what my mom was doing for me and my brother, and I have to say she was my inspiration every time in order to try to match what she did for me. So that was for me the inspiration. But the overall aspect of rugby, some of the player I play who play flanker, people talk a lot about and one of the famous flanker ever for the French rugby, who play some an amazing game, and told me that it looked like him. I keep saying that, I was playing a little bit like him, but I'm not him at all. And some other player who play for Biarritz, like Richard Pouljons, who are an English person, was, yeah, at some point my inspiration when I started playing for the first team.
Excellent. And what would you say your best memories is from playing from Barrett for Biarritz?
But I have to say, when I joined Biarritz, I learned a lot, and a lot of things happened to my life. Which is, at that time, I was a student. I played the World Cup, a student World Cup. I'm a World Cup winner for the Students World Cup in South Africa in 1996, sorry. After that, I played for the first team when I was 19. We won the trophy called Le Trophée Yves du Manoir. After that, I was capped for the French team for the first time in 1997. There's a lot of memories, and I have to say, Basque country, Basque region bring me a lot of those things who make me be who I am today.
Excellent. And you mentioned you started playing for Les Bleus in 1997. Then you had a little bit of a gap. And then in 2000, they called you up again to play for Les Bleus. How was it to play in that era? Which were the players you played with, and your best memories and the worst memories of that era?
I think I was fortunate. I always say that the story is 1997. My first cap, I was on the bench, and we were playing a game against Italy. I always say that my generation, or I'm one of the guy that day who make Italy playing the Six Nations 3 years after, because we lost against Italy that game for my first cap. So 3 years after, Italy was joining the Six Nations, and I was lucky to be selected again for the French team. And that selection was with the new coach, Bernard Laporte. Then I'm player for Bernard Laporte generation. And I have to say, it was difficult to start with, because losing my first game against Italy, and it took me 3 years to come back to the French team, because we, I don't know, for some reason I wasn't picked by the coach in place, and with Bernard Laporte there were some difficult time as well to start with, because with that kind of frustration, because it took me 3 years to come back to the French team. When I came back, I was so lucky, and I was so emotionally engaged to show that I learned a lot from those 3 years. And what happened? I have a big accident, which is the bad moments for the player. The first Six Nations game was away against Wales, and we won the game. I was on the bench, came in the game, we won. And the second game, I was on the bench, was the one of the toughest game of the Six Nations, the crunch, France England. I was on the bench, 15 minutes to go. I came into the game, and after 1 minute and 30 seconds, I have a yellow card, and we lost the game. And that is, for me, a very, very tough situation where trying to show off and trying to show that I've learned, so that I progress from my first selection. It took me a lot of a lot of criticism, because I had a yellow card. We lost the game. England won in France. You imagine the public, that the manager was off the roof, and I felt like I'd never play again for the French team. So it took me 2 years to figure out how I can make the most of that experience, turn that bad experience to the positive. And I worked really hard in my mental toughness. I worked really hard to change my mind, to change the vision of what Serge is all about. And 2 years after, in 2002, we won the first Grand Slam of the Six Nations. That was, yeah, the resume, the short resume of what it took to be in playing that level. I have to say that yellow card showed me that to be playing another level, you need to upgrade your game and you need to work hard.
Yes. Yeah, a painful lesson, but you learned a lot from it. And I think you won the game during the Six Nations against England in 2002.
Yeah, to win the Grand Slam, you need to beat all the team, all your position. Then, yeah.
Yes, do you have any memories from that game? Because I can read, Clive Woodward said of you, he is the only player that I can say was the single-handed reason we lost the match. Do you agree with this comment?
No, not at all, not at all. But that game showed a lot of character from the French team, I have to say. And as we mentioned earlier, I think it was also the game for a new generation of players who want to prove that we're capable to, but just remind people that the year before that we France play in England and England smashed France. I wasn't there, but I remember the criticism again, and I think that the platform was really set in order to do something different, and I was part of that platform, and I was lucky to be part of this. But it was, and also it was kind of revenge for that yellow card, and all that included make the great result of winning the Grand Slam. But at the same time, the club saying that he learned as well, because the following year they did something special by winning the World Cup, which is fair.
Yes, anyway, yeah, payback time it was. And yes, France unfortunately lost against England during the quarterfinal.
No, the semi-final, please.
Semi-final, I beg your pardon. So he did learn, you know, from that. Shame that France didn't win, but you know, 2023 is not that far now. It's 3 years' time. So, before we move to Les Bleus now, who were the team players you were playing with in 2003 around that time, so that our listeners will know what
the French team was the player who now manage the French team, Fabien Galthié, Raphaël Ibanez, Fabien Pelous, Frédéric Michalak, Damien Traille, Emmanuel Arenordoki, Peter De Villiers, who are now coach Scotland, Sylvain Marconnet, Olivier Magne, Yannick Josion. I'd say yes. There are so many.
And it was a very, very good year, very good time, you know, to be part of Les Bleus. You were very successful at the top of the
game. We were successful, and, but not enough to, like you just mentioned, win the World Cup or to win successfully the Grand Slam. But we were successful. At a point.
Yes, and then fortunately, France, you know, had a few barren years in which were difficult to support Les Bleus.
Why are you talking for about me, difficulty? You need to be behind your team, whatever happened. And yeah, it was difficult period for France, but I always feel like being in London for 10 years, I always feel like whatever happened, you need to be supporting your team. And that's what I've been doing, even in the difficult time, because it's not so great to just be there when the team is winning. It's so important, and I truly believe that every day I learn lessons from that kind of support here in the UK, because people are so passionate to support their team. Then I feel, yeah, that's the learning thing for me. It's important to be, yeah, supporting whatever happened.
I agree with you. I've always had some bleu, blanc, rouge, you know, blue, white, red, blood in my veins as well. And I remember meeting, you know, Guillaume Guirado a few years ago at the Six Nations launch, and Jacques Brunel. And, you know, they were getting better at that stage. But, you know, my heart was broken every time, you know, we had a loss. We were so, so close, you know, we were not that far away. But now you can imagine that having Les Bleus being loaded by the English public, by the international press, it's very, very rewarding to see, you know, so young blood, you know, bringing a smile to the face of French supporters after a few tears that we shed.
Yeah, definitely, it's true that this new generation of player, it's definitely talented. They're amazing athletes. I was lucky to be following them in Japan during the World Cup last year. And for the first time, I have to say, French Federation, Bernard Laporte, who are now president of the French Federation, did something very positive in the sense of he introduced Fabien Galthié, who were nominated for the next 4 years as a coach, but he introduced him before the World Cup in order to get him to know and understand the players. And I think that initiative show the reason why now the players are very, very, very into their basket and well positioned, very looking to express themselves, and I have to say, Fabien Galthié, Raphaël Ibanez, and their staff, which is Laurent Labitte, somebody very, very, very interesting player, William Servat, who know inside out what it takes to be playing in that level. And also Sean Edwards, who was my defense coach here at WAS, who is now a defense coach of Les Bleus. I think they've got strong personalities, staff, coaches behind, and it's a great generation who will be remembered for a long time, I hope. And I hope to see them develop themselves to be hopefully in the top two of the ranking.
Yes, definitely. And do you see them lifting the World Cup trophy in 3 years' time?
We all dream for France to be successful because, as you know, we are one of the one of the nation who are the most successful on the last step of the World Cup, and we did all the World Cup, and we played three finals. We never won the World Cup, and that is very, very painful. And I hope that generation will change that. Hopefully.
Definitely. So France was three times the bridesmaid, but it's about time that they become the bride.
Yes, yes. I think it's a young generation, people are going to remember, and hopefully they will have that desire and the charisma to make things happen.
Yes, and we have such a great rock stars in the French team. Not only they are young and dynamic and full of beans, plein d'haricots. I can't I remember how to say that in French. But yeah, we found a few rock stars amongst, you know, Antoine Dupont, Tamac, Gros,
Olivon, the captain.
Yes, that's a great Gael team. Picou. You know, it's but. Yes, yeah, amazing. So it's very, like Fabien Gatier said before, the game, the last game they played against Ireland, you know, my aim is to bring a smile to French people. And he, I think he achieved that. And also my co-host Mike Pierce, which I mentioned to you earlier, asked Fabien Gatier 2 years ago at the Six Nations launch, you know, what he wanted, what was the objectives of Fabien Gatier with his new team. And he said very eloquently, I want French people to fall in love with rugby. And I thought that was so nice, so poetic. So
yeah,
beautiful.
Fabien, it's an impressive speaker. It's inspired people the way he talk about rugby. He inspired people the way he's really passionate on his sport and his role and his leadership is something very very interesting. Then yeah, it's great to have him on board and bring a lot of professionalism. He bring a lot of passion, detail to what he want from the player, and I think it will be very very positive for the team.
Yes, Fabien and his coaching, of course, like you were saying, you know, Sean Edwards, Ibanez, Labitte, and so on. So it's a great, great coaching team to have. So you have something in common with Fabien Gatier. So not only you played together as teammates, he was your captain, I believe, in 2003. But also you posed together, not together, but you posed for Les Dieux du Stade, which is, maybe you can, if you can explain to our English listeners what Les Dieux du Stade is all about and who created it and what is the aim.
Les Dieux du Stade was a calendar created by somebody very important into the French rugby. The person behind the Stade Français and this person really changed the way people women see rugby. He wanted to get more support into the stadium. It's he managed to fill Stade de France for top 14 game. At the time he was the president, Max Guazzini, he have a very very sense of the business and he create that calendar to get to the diverse revenue of the club, and the whole idea was to be naked into the calendar and he was selling those to the supporters. That's calendar. I think there are some English player who also did those photo shoots for him.
Yeah, you said naked, but however, it's aesthetically photographed and the sensitive part have been hidden, you know, in the artistic way. So let's be clear of that. However, if you want to buy this calendar when you are in France, you know, you still can't flick through the pages because they're all stuck together, I think. They are sellotape, not sellotape. You know what I mean. You know they because of its content. But it's a great thing as well because you mentioned. No, you didn't mention, but it's done all done.
Yes, definitely. The revenue from the sale of this calendar are giving to the charity, and I have to be. I have to be honest, I did that once because he offered me to give some revenues for my charity at the time, and I felt like it wasn't a great opportunity for me to start my journey on the charity, and I did it. I'm not regretting that at all because today it's been 16 years I create my charity, Serge Betten Academy. We help underprivileged kids back in Cameroon, where I'm from originally. And we help every year between 400 to 500 kids every year. We help them through rugby to get an education and health, which is the two things when you're underprivileged in Africa, you don't have access to. Then, proud to that. Let's say Les Dieux du Stade made something relevant throughout what I've been doing today with my charity. Thank you, Max Guazzini.
That's amazing.
Supporting me.
Yeah, it was in Marcoussi a few weeks ago to cheer up, you know, the French team before their game against Ireland. I saw that on in the news. So yeah, he still goes to Marcoussi now and then. And yeah, to talk about your association, it's a Serge Betsen Academy, which was founded in 2004. What is the website, and what can people do to provide, you know, some funds or are you planning maybe to do Les Vieux du Stade, another project in which you would have older players posing? Maybe?
A good question. Thank you, Veronique. First of all, the website of the charity is sergebettenacademy.org. You can go there and you see different activity we're trying to do to raise funds. You can donate, you can support, you can share with your friends. And we do a great project. There's another charity who are helping us by raising funds by recycling the rugby ball. The charity called Collège Diderot, it's a school where one of the charity members is teaching, and what they do, they collect all the rugby balls and they recycle them to wallets, bags, I don't know how to say, trousses.
I forgot. It's for kids, you know, where they put them. The pens and pencils.
So wallet and bags and that's there is also the website Recycling Rugby, and that is for me a great way to say that I want my sport to be clean, and I want my sport to also follow the guidelines of how we can maintain our planet clean. And that's recycling rugby ball is something we do in order to raise funds, and that is great. And if we are going to be close to the Christmas, and I think it's a good way to maybe share that to your to people who listen to your podcast. And the other charity I created called French Legends. It's true that we are not doing the calendar with the all retired players, but we tend to organize some fixtures game. Maybe we're going to be looking to do England, I guess, against the French for the next Six Nations tournament, maybe.
That would be good. Do you think we could ask Brian yeah, Moore to participate?
Brian Moore is a good friend, and I will ask him to come and join us, maybe. Yes, definitely. Brian, if you listen to this podcast, please let me know.
I know he's due to come to this podcast, except, you know, he was busy. I think he had to wash his hair. next year. There's always another time. Another project that you've been involved with is Les Gueules du Rugby, which is actually a book with 406 portraits and video, which is published by Jean-Pierre Pagès. And it's a great present as well for rugby fans, especially if you live in France. It's you can go into www.gueulesdurugby.com. So a little message for Jean-Pierre Pagès that loads of rugby players know. And I understand he wants to do 2023 portrait as well in 2 years' time. So he's got lots of work to do.
It's a good initiative as well, because at the end of the day, it's always fascinating to see a rugby player when they retire, what they do, etc., how they're keeping fit, etc., etc. And I think it's a good way Jean-Pierre decided to put this project in place, and I met him and did some pictures 2 or 3 years ago now, and I think it's a good way to reconnect with all the ex French players.
Definitely. And on top of the other work you've been working on, is that you created as well Consulting.
Since I joined WASP and I'm in London, I create my company, Serge Betten Consulting, with the idea of keeping the connection with the business. And I do several things beyond that. This company, I'm a CEO of my company. I'm a brand ambassador for brand. I'm a pundit. I'm now going to be commentating for the Nations Cup with Prime Video. I do a lot of team building, motivational speaker. Or these days, I do a webinar to talk about well-being and performance, resilience, those things who are very, very cultivated during my 20 years of professionalism. And it's true that with this unprecedented time, uncertainty, some people discover what it takes to stay motivated, what it takes to be positive sometimes. And I think we are lucky to share those experiences, because sports is not that easy, and to be sharing stories, sharing what it took us to be who we are today, it's very interesting and source of a lot of story, and I think people today want to hear that and to be supporting them through my experiences is very, very positive for me, and I'm really lacking. I like doing these things.
Yes, and you've been recognized by the French French department, by the French government, because a few years ago you were given La Légion d'honneur, which is one of France's a highest commendation, the equivalent, I would say, of a CBE in England, in the French embassy. So well done. And you are also a member of the Champion for Peace Club, which is a group of more than 90 famous elite created by Peace and Sport, which is from Monaco, under the patronage of Prince Albert. So, yeah, kudos to you. You, I think it's a great, great ethos to ensure, you know, that sport can really be a positive tool, you know, for dialogue and social cohesion. So it's a very rewarding, extremely humbling for me to speak with you, because since your rugby days, you know, you've done a lot, you know, for in terms of charity and spreading, you know, rugby.
Thank you very much.
Well.
It's always a pleasure to do those things, because, like I said, rugby brought me a lot. And it's just for me normal things to be able to take a little bit of my time for others, and receiving the Legion d'honneur in the French embassy in London was amazing, something I never expected in my life, and that's happened, and now you have to call me sir. Time we'll get to meet.
We don't have any sir in France.
And I think rugby and sports, it's beyond sports, I have to say, and to be able to share those things with kids here, it's true that my other activities or taking rugby to schools is something I'm really passionate with, because teaching the basic things to a student, 8 years old, girls, boy, and to be able to engage them through sport is something very positive. And I have to say, businesses, government, we don't invest a lot in sports. We need to do more in order to engage with kids. It's not just about school for every subject, mathematics, language, etc. But I think sports is a tool who can add a lot of value to people, and on this unprecedented time. Doing sports is bring you a lot of confidence, and we need confidence to continue in our life. And I have to say, I really enjoy those moments with kids who never see a rugby ball, and to be able to share my passion like the Club of Clichy did for me. When I was 12 years old, is just phenomenal, and I truly blessed that. I can share that.
That's amazing, absolutely amazing. So, this weekend you will be in Murrayfield, in Scotland, commentating for Prime Video.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about this game? You think it's like, would it be like a déjà vu for France? Is Mohamed Ouass going to be part of the starting team again?
Or part of the French team? It was part of the last game against Ireland where we won. He will be part. It's true that this game bring a lot of bad memories of with the red cards, but I really enjoy hearing Fabien Galthié, the manager. It was a turning point of this group of young players. Like Fabien said after the game, it was all of them, it was like, I don't know, 20 caps, something like this, which is nothing to compare to the Scottish boy, and Fabien was really, really positive by saying it's a learning curve, and that red card happened.
Yes.
And, And the good thing, he didn't blame the team, and he just talk about that and step by step give them the confidence. That's why I believe they react really well, even after 4 months or 6 months to play against Ireland, and to have that kind of determination was really, really, really positive. Then I definitely believe Fabien now understand a lot of what it takes to be a good manager, but what it takes as well for the youngster to be continue progressing. And I think they learn a lot of that negative game. And I definitely believe that in Murrayfield this weekend, it will be another chapter for France.
Definitely. Something to put back to bed. So do you think France is likely to win?
I think that will be close to win the tournament. I definitely believe that the last Six Nations showed that they're capable to do something special. And they finish in the number two. They were the team who scored the most try. They were very attractive the way they play. It's refreshing to see France, and we will see that there was some injury. Romain Tamac is injured. He's not going to be playing this game. There's a new number 10. We're going to be named for the team on Sunday. And Carbonell is
Carbonell,
just 20 years old or 21. He won the World Cup under 20. He played for Toulon, I think. We've got like always a great generation of players, and I think they need to have that experience in order to grow through playing, and I definitely believe it will be all positive.
Absolutely. So it's all about, it was a learning curve. So it's again, you know, I'm lost for words regarding the French team, but again, you know, one game at a time, you know, that's the most important thing to focus on, well, on their achievements, you know, but having the long-term plan as well for them to do very well. And already France has been ranking number 4 instead of number 5. So it's,
I think the manager, Raphaël Banès, say that they want to be in the top 2 in 2-3 years. Then, it will be very, very interesting to see the progress of the France.
That would be great. And I hope that one day, I'll have the pleasure to speak with your former teammate from WASP, Raphaël Ibanez. His English is really good, actually. I've heard him speaking on English rugby news. So, yeah, I would like to have Raphaël Ibanez and Monsieur Gatier as well. If it's that would be great to see there. You know, to get their opinion for maybe not
yes,
right now,
later
next year.
That would be delighted. Just the brief story. My venue at WASP was with Raf. The story behind this is after the World Cup, I was supposed to retire at, because I was dreaming for the trophy, and luckily we lost. I didn't want to stop playing, and a club called me Bristol to join them, and I phoned Raf to say, "What do you think of Bristol?" He said, "No, come at WASP, and here we come, here we go." And I have to say, yeah, thank you, Raf, because with his link to us, I managed to be part of this amazing team, and it's down to him.
Hey, it's been great speaking to you. It's quite late now, so Yes, I'm going to let you prepare. You need to do your suitcase, you know, for your trip to Murrayfield on Friday. And yeah, allez les bleus.
Allez les bleus.
So, Autumn International for Women. What are the news?
Yes, France played England, the Six Nations champions, in Grenoble. Lovely sunny day there. The pictures look beautiful with the mountains in the background. Shame, once again, no fans around. But England won pretty convincingly, 33-10. Three tries for England through Skarrett, Matthews and Breach. 18 points from the boot of Emily Skarrett. France just had one try through Gail Hermet, and France were scoreless after 27 minutes, so they were really, really struggling. They've got another chance this weekend because the return fixture, they play England at Twickenham before the England-Ireland game. That match is live on BBC Two, by the way. So busy time for women's rugby. There's the World Cup, Women's Rugby World Cup draw on Friday. And should be interesting to see where the home nations go. There's still a qualifying tournament to sort out between Scotland, Italy and probably Spain. So not all the places have been decided. So, yeah. That's the news from the women's scene.
So, are you ready for your French lesson?
Oui, madame. Oui, asseyez-vous.
So, I've got a good one for you. Goalpost.
Okay.
Do you say les poteaux, P-O-T-E-A-U-X, because it's more than one, it's two,
okay.
Les poteaux, or les perches? P-E-R-C-H-E-S.
That's fish, isn't it? Pesh?
Not quite. Maybe if you don't pronounce the R, but... So which one?
That's a tough one. I'll tell you, there is some logic in my answer here because potto is P-O and posts are P-O, so I'm going to say potto or poteau.
Les poteaux. Yes. You're 50% right.
How come?
Because you can say les perches as well.
Oh, trick questions now, eh? I see.
Yeah, so you see, I'm more than a pretty face.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, are you ready for a ready rugby joke?
Yeah, I'm as ready as I'll ever be, I guess. Go on, hit me with it.
Do you have any for me?
I'm afraid not this week. I can only do these things sporadically, you know, so...
Okay, so a blind guy on a bar stool shouts to the bartender, "Wanna hear a blonde joke?" In a hushed voice, the guy next to him says, "Before you tell that joke, you should know something. Our bartender is blonde. The bouncer is blonde. I'm a 6 foot tall, 14 stone black belt. The guy sitting next to me is 6 foot tall, weighs 15 stones and is a rugby player. The fella of your right is 6 foot five, pushing 18 stone and is a wrestler. Each one of us is blonde. Think about it, mister. Do you still want to tell that joke?" The blind guy says, "Nah, not if I'm gonna have to explain five times."
Oh, boom, boom.
Next time, next week will be your turn, my friend.
I will. I'm not sure I can match the quality of that, but I'll do my very best.
So thank you very much, rugby friends, for listening to our podcast. I hope you've learned a lot and you've enjoyed it as well. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a comment as well.
Yep, thanks everybody. Hope you have a great weekend. And as always, stay safe. And hopefully we'll all be back together very, very soon when we get a vaccine in a stadium somewhere. But until then, as I say, stay safe, enjoy your rugby, and we'll catch you next week.
And good luck for the Welsh game.
Good luck. Yes, I'll be lighting a candle very soon.
I'm sure I will be fine. Don't worry.
Allez les bleus.
Yeah, that's a nice one. Allez les dragons.
Oui.
Speak to you next week. Au revoir. Bye.
Les oiseaux du lac, pic, pac, pic, pic, glou, 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 font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche, ding, ding, dong. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui.